So now we are coming to this Kutsangi Rasas hymn 115. It is the last hymn, by the way, of Kutsangi Rasa. He has 22 hymns, and this is his last hymn in the first mandala. Before 114 was a hymn to Rudra, a very powerful hymn, and before that there was 113 hymn to Usha, a very famous hymn to the dawn. Dawn, Rudra and Surya, these three last hymns of the Sangirasa. Rishi. You know, Kutsa has it's a legendary Rishi. He is driving a chariot of Indra. So Indra is sitting there in the chariot and he is charioting. It's like Krishna was a charioteer of Arjuna, now Kutsa is a charioteer of Indra. So he brings this Indra. Now who is Indra? The Lord of the Divine Mind. The mind which is reaching out, leaping out into the abyss of our lower hemisphere with its light. And this lightning is showing us what we know and what we don't know. Usually we consider ourselves very knowledgeable, but when this leaping of the lightning of Indra is taking place, we see that everything what we knew was very relative, and it was based on ignorance mainly, and has very relative truth. So this light of the Supreme, which is coming from Indra, is that light of Surya, yes, behind. That sun, supramental sun, is there. It is with his rays, so to say, Indra illumines our lower hemisphere. So this is the last hymn of Kutsangi Rasa, quite interesting. Though he is a charioteer of Indra, his last hymn is to Surya. And it is one of the most beautiful hymns in the Rig Veda. So we will read it first. Chitram Devanam Udagat Anikam Chakshur Mitrasya Varunasya Agneh Apra Dhyava Prithivi Antariksham Surya Atma Jagatastastu Shascha Suryo Devim Ushasam Rochamanam Maryo Nayosham Abhyeti Paschat Yatra Naro Devayanto Yugani Vitanvate Pratibhadraya Bhadram Bhadra Ashva Haritak Suryasya Chitra Etagva Anumadiyasah Namasyanto Diva Aprishtham Astu Paridhyava Prithivi Yanti Sadhyah Tat Suryasya Devatvam Tan Mahitvam Madhya Kartoh Vitatam Sanjabhara Yadet Yaded ayukta haritah sadhasthat adratri vasastante simasmai. Tan mitrasya varunasya bhichakshe suryo rupam krenute dyor upasthe. Anantam anyad rushad asya pajah krishnam anyad haritah sambharandi. Adhyadeva udita suryasya niramhasah piprita nir avadhyat tamno mitro varuno mamahantam aditih sindhuv prithivi utadhyav chitram devanam udagat anikam chakshur mitrasya varunasya agneh Apra Dhyava Prithivi Antariksham Suryam Atma Jagatastastvushascha. The power Anikam, fully conscious Chitram. Of all the gods has risen. Chitram Devanam Udagat came up. Anikam. Devanam Anikam. Anikam is the power of life, from root an, to breathe. It's a living power, has arisen, Udagat, came up, Chitram, full of light. So Surya is often referred to that he is rising with the life power of all creatures. His rays were identified as a life power which connects all the diversity of beings. And with their life power he is rising. And in Brahmanas you will see already such phrases like don't rise with our life force. Don't, how to say, consume our life force for your rising. Yes? It's quite interesting, some kind of perception of that, that when the sun is rising, he's rising with the life force of all creatures. So please leave us life force. Don't rise with our life force. So that connection is here. This life force full of light is rising. Chakshu, it is the vision, the sight. Mitrasya, Varunasya, Agneh, of Mitra, Varuna and Agni. The supreme eye, or the eye of the consciousness supreme, of being and of will. Now, consciousness is Mitra. Varuna is that being, and Agni is that will. So we have Satchit Tapas, and of this Satchit Tapas, the representative in this manifestation is rising. Apra, Diava Prithivi Antariksham, filling the earth and heaven and air, or we can say space between heaven and earth, the sun, Surya, the self of all that moves and moves not. Jagatah tastushascha atma. Jagatah, jagat is what moves. Tastuvan, yes, it is tastush, is a weak form for tastuvan. Tastuvansau, tastuvansaha, is the form of perfect. And that which stays and that which moves, of both, he is the self. It is the self of all that moves and moves not, Atman, which is a direct and ultimate definition of the supramental manifestation. Novaya Savitar is called the self of all. So I'm just comparing Surya and Savitar. He is the Lord of all that moves. This is spoken, the Lord. Yes? Jagatah sthatuh ubhayasya yo vashi. He is the one who orders all that moves and moves not, the Lord, the possessor, but not the self. Now there is a subtle distinction between the self and the Lord. Sri Aurobindo explains this very well in the Keno Upanishad, by the way. Because Keno deals with this issue, and there is the whole phrase which relates that there are only two fundamental realities, the self and the Lord. It's a very interesting altogether view. The Lord is the representative of consciousness, and the self is the representative of being, so to say, of the Supreme. Between these two there is the whole play. So the self is sustaining everything in all individual and universal, so to say. Yes, movement. So the self is sustaining all as a being, and there is consciousness of it, someone who perceives that as such, and that is the Lord. Now, the consciousness is evolving by mutating the self. The self is changing, nature is changing, mutating, not evolving. There is no evolution of nature. There is a mutation of nature. The being is changing to be more suitable to sustain consciousness, which is evolving by that mutation. So that mutation helps it perceive in a new way every time and grow in some way. So we can speak about evolution of consciousness and mutation of nature. So self is that sustaining all being, It is only Surya, the supramental, in its substance, consciousness and power, is called the self of all. The word Atman means not only the soul, but also the being, the body. Actually, all the bodies, physical, vital, mental, supramental and transcendental, is one Atman. And we can see this in later in Upanishads, in Taittiriya Upanishad, that they are all Annamaya Atma, Pranamaya Atma, Vijnanamaya Atma, not only Purusha. Vijnanamaya Purusha, Anandamaya Purusha is something else than Vijnanamaya Atma. The slight distinction is that Purusha is the Lord, whereas the Self is the being which sustains the Lord, so to say. So these two characteristics, two major categories, are always there in the Veda from the beginning, and that is distinction between Savitar as the Lord and Surya as the Self. Later it becomes Purusha and Atman, two different beings, being and the Lord. Yeah. And it continues in Vedanta, in its own.
It's also in Yoga Sutras, when you have Sakara, and Atma, is compared to ignorance, avidya, so yeah. Atma and Atma.
So this Ishvara is the development of Purusha, development to the extent when he becomes fully, how to say, in possession of his own nature. When he is fully in possession of his own nature, then he is called Ishvara. So there is no distinction anymore on Purusha and Prakriti then. He becomes fully in charge of his own Shakti. Shakti is not separate from him. So that's how Purusha and Prakriti turn into Ishvara Shakti, in Sri Aurobindo's understanding. Yes, we have also this division on Adhidaiva and Adhyatma. This is exactly where the division is. Adhidaiva is about the soul, the Purusha, the consciousness, the Lord, about the devatas, faculties of consciousness. They are coming from Purusha, not from Atman. And there is Atma, the self, all-sustaining self. It is that Adhyatma, about all-sustaining being. What do you mean? So tell me about what karmas you refer to. Khandas, maybe. What do you mean in Vedanta?
In Shankara.
Okay, Shankara is something else. Okay, so tell me what you mean.
This three karmas, this fluctuating karma, one which is actual karma and one which is resting. I don't know, the word Adhidaiva is used in it, and I was also thinking. This idea is used.
Yeah, the action can come from the self, or the action can come from the consciousness, yes? And they will be of different origins, so to say. Karma itself is a very strange thing. You know, as Krishna says, nobody knows what karma is and what akarma is. You cannot define and say what is doing and what is not doing, because everything is doing. Prakriti is doing everything. So Prakriti is born on that play of the Lord with the Self. It is His all-sustaining and manifesting force, yes, which is appearing from this play. It does not exist without Him. That's why it is said, without Him I am unmanifest, because without the Self giving it a ground of being, and without consciousness perceiving it as such, there will be no play of Prakriti. Suryo Devim Shasam, and now she comes here, this luminous Paraprakriti. Suryo devim ushasam rochamanam Mario na yosham abhieti paschat yatra naro devayanto yugani vitanvate prati bhadraya bhadram. The sun follows after the dawn. Surya ushasam abhieti paschat. Paschat, behind. She follows, she goes in front and he follows behind her. Resplendent goddess, Devi. Devi is not only goddess, but also shining from Rudiv to be luminous, luminous being. As a boy follows a lady, I put a boy, it's not a good word, as a young man. somehow.
That's boy follows.
Yes. Sorry. As a young man follows, is there another chap? Is there another word?
No,
young man is fine. Follows a... Huh?
Youth.
Youth is...
Follows a maiden.
Maiden. The lady is too... As a young man follows maiden... Mariona Yosham. It's also... These are very strange words. Difficult to... Maria is actually mortal one. No, it's only a comparison here. As if, yeah? As man follows lady, not really man follows lady, but as if man follows lady, and behind her, yatra naro devayanto yugani, where the heroic souls of men, nara. Yeah?
No, I mean the consciousness, what is behind the word, is different. In this word, it is more the physical attraction than when you put the soul in the attraction. There could be used a different kind of expression.
Now let us look into this once, and then maybe we will come to that again. That there is no physical attraction as against any other attraction, because there is no such concept yet, yeah? That these two can be different, because it's only a poetic comparison. So it doesn't matter basically, as I believe. There is no physical attraction of any kind here. As man follows a young lady there, and look where he follows her. There where the heroic souls of men, struggling, so to say, yatra narah, seeking after the divine manifestation in time, that's what was my first translation, yatra devayantah yugani. Devayantah is a causative from div, where they are manifesting the divine. Yugani, where they make yugani, the yugas, the periods of time divine. Where they are divinizing periods of time, there he follows her. As young man follows a maiden, he follows there where the heroic souls, where the children of hers, are divinizing the time. Its first translation, yuga, can be also translated from root yuge, yokes, where they are divinizing their yokes. We all put on ourselves this yoke, you know. Yes, to bring it up, to bring it to its redemption. This fallen self was taken on ourselves as a yoke, as a sacrifice. We plunged into this darkness, took our yoke, our cross. Everybody carries the cross. So every soul carries that cross. So to divinize that cross, yugani, can be translated not only at time, but yokes. Where these divine souls, where these souls fighting, heroic souls of men, are divinizing their yokes. Vitanvate, spreading pratibhadraya towards the blissful bhadram, blissful. They are spreading the blissful towards the blissful. Look at this beautiful image. Where they are spreading blissful for the blissful. So they are the representatives of the blissful, and they are spreading it towards the blissful, which is kind of beyond them. So the soul, the psychic being, has a turn towards the divine. It can face the divine. That's why prati bhadraya, and representing bhadram, they vitanvate, they spread wider and wider the blissful, towards the blissful. So the second half of this verse, yatra naroya divayanto yugani, can be translated also differently, where the heroic souls of men divinize the ages or even their yokes. The word yuga has several meanings, a cycle of time, a yoke. Sometimes something which is yoking the soul to manifestation or even generation, where they divinize generations, you know, these generations of souls. The yoke is to be divinized, the very yoke which is binding the soul to the world in its triple existence. This triple cord mentioned elsewhere of bondage must be divinized. Triple cord is of the physical, vital and mental existence, which soul cannot deal with by dropping, taking up, until it is fully divinized. So the sun is following the dawn there, where the divine souls of heroic men are sacrificing or spreading the blissful wide in time and space for the sake of the blissful. It is the dawn who brings him there. She is Rojamana, shining with the supramental light of the Rojana. And he follows her like a young man goes after a beautiful maiden to realize all his desires in manifestation. And this is the beautiful image of it, because he is seeking his own realization. And she drags him there, where he will have his wishes realized. Yeah? Otherwise he would not come into manifestation if she would not leap out with her. So he follows her, not in his own wish. Of course it is his wish, she is his will. I can't explain what it is. Somehow it was, it's just an image which Sri Aurobindo also uses in his savagery, this image. And many people asked even the mother, what about, why these erotic imageries? And she said, come on, what erotic? It's a poetic imagery of love. It has nothing erotic in it. Erotic in a sense as people understand it. Yeah? So, but that is how it is. You know? She will bring his children to him. You know? And his children will be him in another view to himself. So that is him who is different from himself. That's what his desire was. It's as simple as that. One should not complicate more that image. Is it not simple enough?
No, I mean, if you're a man, yes, I think it's not simple.
If you're a woman, it's also quite simple, no? I mean, it's not really different in a sense. It's the same thing, only you're on the other side. And so we play different roles, like souls play different roles. We play this drama, and then it's only for a while. Actually, Mother says soul has no gender, no? It is it. So we don't have more to. Bhadra ashva harita suriyasya chitra etagva anumadiyasah namasyanto diva aprishtham astuh. Pari dhyava prathiriyanti sadhyah. And now we come to his horses. Blissful are the horse, power's horses. How to put it? Something that is not good. Blissful are the powers, swiftnesses of the sun. Horse powers is also not good.
Power horses.
Powerful horses. of the sun bright in consciousness, they are chitraha again, they have this chit power in themselves, luminosity of consciousness, with brilliant powers again, haritah, golden, yeah? Hoses, ashvah, vadrah, they are blissful and luminous. They should be all successfully welcomed here. For these, bearing our prayers, ascended to the top of heaven, and in a moment they spread all over heaven and earth. It's word is used sadhya, suddenly, in a moment, they occupy the whole universe, heaven and earth, to the end of its expansion. Diva aprishthamastuh, they were staying on the top of the hill of the heaven. At the back of heaven they stood, these horses. And that is, you remember the beginning where it is said that you are coming with your the power full of consciousness has arisen. Yes? This is the power. It is his powers. The rays, the horses, the swiftnesses of the sun, full of light, etagva, they are swift, anumadiyasach, they are from good mud to be intoxicated. Anumadiyasah, after whom one has to be intoxicated. But they are the horses. They will be the to be praised in succession, to be granted with acclamation of praise. But it is not really that. Yes, to be enjoyed one by one. This is the word. To be enjoyed in succession. These are the swiftnesses, which are, should not be overlooked or seen as the whole, but one by one they have to be manifested and enjoyed and bring this bliss one by one. Namasyantah, they are those to be surrendered to, worthy of surrender to, these swiftnesses of the sun. They all stood at the back of the heaven, and in a moment, sadhyah, suddenly, paridhyava prithiviyanti, they are going to the extent of heaven and earth. When they break through, it's like some people here in Aura will say that supramental manifestation will come like shklak, and everything is done. This is the word, shklak. So that is, suddenly we are already there. So these are all the almighty powers of the sun. For in a moment they can occupy all heaven and earth. They have to be welcomed here by the soul of man. All, but in a successive way, one after the other. So there is this strange thing, like one after the other, concept of time, not all together, not in general, but in detail. And that's what supramental manifestation brings, the detailed knowledge of manifestation. What are these powers, and why are they symbolized by horses or shva? Power is the moment of being. I was kind of pondering on it. What was that power? What do you think power is? It's a strange thing. What is power, actually? But originally, what is it in your perception? What is it, power? Okay, we understand what consciousness is, but what is power?
It's a vibration of energy.
Okay, energy. What is energy? It's power. Yes, we are skillful to put, predicates always what it is. But inwardly, what originally would it mean?
From the soul.
From where it is, it's another matter. But what it is?
It's another quality. If you think something...
If I push something, is it power?
Yes.
Is it from the soul?
No, no.
Okay, it's not from the soul. But it is power. So what is power? Ability to choose is the ability of consciousness, I think. Yeah? But power is, you choose, yes, will. Will power, okay. But will of is a consciousness power. Yeah? But power itself, horse power. Why horse power?
I feel power has so many colors. And depends how your consciousness is and how you recognize it's the quality or the substance of the
So we are closer. It's a substance of some kind. There's something moving with the substance. The movement, the swiftness. What is this? Force.
Force.
It's another word. Yeah. What is force?
I said Kraft in German. Kraft comes from force.
Is it something which can put something in action?
Yeah. What is action then?
Action is. The place
is
in time.
The energy that causes movement of action.
Okay, energy which causes movement of action or something. Yeah. Action, movement, some energy, but this is again predicate. I know it's nearly impossible to define what it is, but if we look into original definitions of like self and consciousness, yes? Self is that there is a being, yeah, something which is, and there is the consciousness of that being which perceives it as such, and there is something else, the third thing, the power of it.
Transforming it into something else according to one's own will.
Transforming according to one's own consciousness, yes. So this is the state of being. Huh? Now we are coming, boiling it down.
State
can be activity, it can be potential state. So the state of being, how it is applied according to the consciousness, is power. And that's why we have sat, chit, tapas. Tapas is the third in the hierarchy of vision. First being, then consciousness in that being, and according to it, there will be a state of that being, which is power. It can be swift, it can be active.
As an antidote of three gunas, see, which are lower, trinity, see, sattva, rajas, tamas.
Oh, these are all powers, yeah, already, because nature is power.
So three plus one is seven.
Now, why I'm kind of going into this power thing, because there was... Power is a movement of being, not a movement of consciousness. I want to clarify that. Being, substance. If substance is not moving, then there is no power. That's why the Lord of Death asks from Savitri, okay, you brought the knowledge, the Supreme, but where is thy power? So he is not buying that knowledge, that light, which knows, is not enough. There has to be a movement of being. If that is listening to your consciousness, then you have power. But if it is not listening to you, you don't have it. So when the being moves, it is being perceived or rather experienced as power. So these movements of the supramental being, so to say, can in a second occupy the whole universe, shklak, and we are there. But they are true in full dynamic capacity of all possible and impossible movements of the being. The manifestation is nothing but their own projection of these powers of the sun. It is within them, as it were. Therefore, they can occupy the whole space of heaven and earth. Paridhyava prithivyanti sadhyah. And this word, sadhyah, suddenly, they occupy fully heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. Standing on the hill, on the top of the heaven, suddenly, in a moment of time, they are everywhere. This is the image. Whatever we understand of this image, we can just try to understand it, yeah? In our own way, whatever knowledge we have. Tat Suryasya Devatvam Tanmahi Tvam Madhya Kartoh Vitatam Samjabhara Yaded Ayuktam Haritah Sadhastat Adratri Vasastam Tesi Masmai. And that is indeed His divinity. Tat Suryasya Devatvam Tanmahi Tvam. Notice again double terms. Devatvam, His shininess, and Mahitvam, His greatness. Again, this Lord and the Self comes in. Yes? And that is indeed His divinity, and that is His greatness. The work have done, and this is a mysterious thing, Madhyakartoh, which was widely spread out, Vitatam, Samjabhara, He is taken now fully. Now, half-done work, He now takes absolutely. Yeah? Now, you remember there was this half-done work mentioned with Savitar before. He drops half-done work. Agni drops his half-done work and joins Savitar. But the Surya is not dropping half-done work. He takes it absolutely. When he has yoked his horses to his work, from their unyoked common places, so to say, then the night spreads out her garments unto him. Now, the night is here, still playing a role, that ignorance or that state of being is kind of wrapping him with her garments when he moves with his horses towards the manifestation. And this is indeed his greatness and his divinity. The work which was spread and half finished in this lower hemisphere, he indeed takes it all to accomplish. So when he yokes his forces to do the work here, the movement of his supramental being in its multitude, this work is nothing but these movements of his supramental being in its multitude. Then the night spreads her enveloping garments to clothe or to house them, these forces, in. And this was the imagery of the stars. The stars are his representatives in the night, separated, these rays of light, so to say, separated beings are there, which is the vision of manifestation of the divine here in the lower hemisphere. So this verse differs from the similar verse in the hymn 238 to Savitar, where the night is reweaving all that Savitar has spread. He's spreading and she's taking that work and reweaving. You remember the second hymn we read. Similarly, the word vitatam is used, spread out, finishing his half-done work anew. So whatever he starts, she takes and she does it on her behalf. His work, his spreading light, she takes, wraps it in and does it on her behalf. That is her half work, what she does. And now he takes it fully onto himself. Here it is said that this half finished work, the sun bears fully. Samjabhara, from Udbhari, Sambharati. He's bearing it, carrying it fully, totally. Though Griffith cannot believe, somehow, he translates, he has withdrawn that spread over work unfinished. He cannot believe that this is what it is, but direct meaning is this. So he kind of twists the meaning, he puts some additional into it, possibility to translate, because it doesn't make sense. How you should take half-done work by the night and finish it. the sun. Following the suggestions from the hymn of Savitar, he cannot believe it, he follows the Savitar, that he drops the half-done work. It may also explain another statement from the hymn to the dawn, where she is asked to hurry with her evolutionary work. For when Surya comes, it is said, and the work is still unfinished, he may burn all like thieves or robbers. You remember the stars were compared to robbers and thieves? And that work of the sun, which is not finished, of the dawn, that's what is invoked. Dawn, please come fast. Do not delay your sacrificial work. Ma chiram tamutha apach, says Rishi to the dawn. Do not let the sun burn you with his flame as if you are a thief or an enemy. Netva stena, stena is a thief, yatha ripum, as if the enemy, tapati sura, the sura, the sun, should not burn you, archisha, by his light. Now it's a very interesting statement. The sun is a symbol of the supramental manifestation. If he comes before the dawn has finished her evolutionary preparatory work, bringing down the light of the sun and establishing it in the darkness, gradually transforming it into the substance of light, then the supramental light symbolized by the sun would simply burn it down, destroying this creation, which is unprepared to receive the full force of that light. By the way, Mother mentions this in regard to different continents, and when she discusses it about Africa, somebody asks her, what about Africa? And there was the whole discussion that Africa once was a great civilization, but they were satisfied with their achievements, and from that moment they started to degrade. And that great civilization became again animal, half animal. So, and she says, this is what worries me, when the supramental light comes, these unprepared corners, yes, which are not welcoming this change, they will be destroyed. It will be a disaster in those corners of the world.
So, listen, the topic is also if they retire from this world, go to Malaya and obtain the hard work and supramentality, nobody could approach them, nobody could see them. Because to be kind of gulf between us and them. That's why they came to us and prepare people to welcome, to collaborate, to spread. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is in the same way. Direction, yeah.
I was not confused, because before you said the sun will take up, and now after you said the sun will burn, you are halfway.
Yes. Yes. So better to stay confused in this way than confused in some other way. Because this is the way to be confused, which is conducive to thinking. Conducive to thinking, to finding the truth. What is this? It's both ways, yes. Yes, he will take up all the work of the night, fully. And this is the problem. That's why he will burn down those elements which are not ready. It's a good answer. Well, it's only logic, so what to do? It's about logic. Yes, it's a very simple. If he takes all the work of the night, then he is dangerous for the night. Because he will finish it off. He will not skip it. He will not let it stay. Nothing will, escape his look, his touch. Suddenly he just moves all over heaven and earth. All these forces which are standing at the top of the heaven. Stena is one who lives for himself, that's why this imagery is used, having come into this creation to do the sacrificial work, that is for the divine growth in the manifestation, he changed, the being changed, the soul, and started to live for himself alone, in his own enjoyment, in his own knowledge, and his own power. So Stena, according to the Vedic psychology, is the one who does not sacrifice. Yes, Sri Krishna is using this image in the Gita also, who takes the divine light and support for granted, with no gratitude and no giving back. That means he forgets his purpose. The Panis, the traffickers and traders, are also called thieves or robbers. They steal the divine light and treasures, store them in the cave of subconscious, but do not use them for the divine purpose. So, which is the welfare of all. So when the time of the sun, the supramental manifestation comes, and the sun, the divine eye, sees that the bearers of light are not ready to receive and use the immortal power, it will treat them as thieves and robbers, living for themselves, for no reason, because they are not for that reason there. We came here for another reason, not to survive. Yes. Sri Aurobindo translates this passage differently, but implying the same meaning. It's of the Machiram Tanute. Break forth into light, O daughter of heaven, and spin not out too long the work. For thee, thy son afflicts not with his burning ray, as he afflicts the fool and the thief. So, in a way, he wants to separate Usha as she brings the light of the sun. So that would not affect her. So that's why she can delay her work. So please don't delay, because you won't be burned by his coming. But we, who have to benefit from you, from your light, will be burned. Yes? That's what it implies. Kind of beautifully adding to this imagery. Yes, I'm kind of... There was another very interesting view on this in Savitri, on this thief, yes? That's what is similar to this passage in Savitri. The voice of the Supreme warns Ashvapati not to invoke the immeasurable descent of the Supreme into the earthly frame of man, who is too weak to receive it. This is something of the kind, yes? When the soul is too weak to receive it, it will break. So, therefore, he has to be patient, so to say, and entrust all work to the Divine Mother. That's what the voice says. For she is the all-seeing power and knows how to slowly hew her way through this resistance, yeah? To bring her, his light into manifestation. So, I am the mystery beyond reach of mind. I am the goal of the travail of the suns. My fire and sweetness are the cause of fire, of life. But too immense my danger and my joy. Awake not the immeasurable descent. Speak not my secret name to hostile time. Man is too weak to bear the infinite's weight. Truth born too soon might break the imperfect earth. That's what is expected. Leave all-seeing power to hew its way. Leave the all-seeing power to hew its way. In thy single vast achievement, reign apart, helping the world with thy great lonely days. This was Sri Aurobindo was doing to us. Helping us with his... with his great lonely days. So in the...
Are there implications, are there parallels when you look at the Kathakurana? It means that the supramental comes from us, in a sense, not from outside us. So we have to observe it completely. We cannot count on another. We cannot count on an
Yes. Anyhow, and there is other great passage, if you remember, lonely his days and splendid like the sun's. It's actually a comparison to the sun, to the supramental, too early manifestation for all of us. He comes and brings this light, the sun. So in the essays of the Gita also he explains this thief thing, which I will skip today because we already have an image which is very interesting here about sacrifice and what thief represents in the Gita. But since we have already 5 o'clock and I want to finish today this hymn, next time we will have one more hymn and it will be the end of the course.
You can also add Icarus in it when he flies out of the island and he enjoys flight up to the sun, Icarus, yes, and he is unaware of danger and he's battling.
Icarus, yeah.
But what did you say that we have the super...
I compared what I heard earlier. Shikorobindo, her mother, said, consequence that if they would elaborate, descend, Shikorobindo comes because they came first and worked it out. But they had to prepare ourselves, people in ignorance, to receive it, to continue. But it can be received from outside, it should be from inside. It's a two same part job. See,
it's a very big thing. If we have the supramental inside us, then it can't come from outside.
It's not a
big thing. Everything
is
evolved and it will be
evolving.
That is, I
know. No, it is influenced.
But I always think the supramental, what it is called, it is coming.
Oh, you're always thinking, like a postman, you know, postman comes.
It's working from inside. It's working from inside.
So there are only 2 shlokas more left.
Yes, yes, yes.
Then, no problem, Frantam, Mitrasya, Varunasya, Vichakshe, Suryo, Rupam, Krimute, Dioru, Paste, Anantamanyad, Rushadasya, Pajach, Krishnamanyad, Haritach, Sambharanti. That's beautiful. So, to see that of Mitra and of Varuna, the sun makes out of himself a form in the lap of heaven. Surya rupam krenute, he makes a form, rupam, dyor upasthe, in the lap of heaven, he creates his own projection. Infinite is his power shining on the one hand, anantam anyat, rushad asya pajah, and on the other, which is the power horses bear fully. Krishna manyat, and dark on the other hand. So infinite is his power. One, I do not know how to put it, I will put it later. One is infinite, and yat anantam, rushat, shining, asya pajah, the force. Krishna manyat, and other is Krishna, dark. Haridah sambharanti, his forces carry fully. So the forces, the swiftnesses of the sun are holding the night. One is his luminous form, and other is his dark form, which the forces carry through. Because he created the projection, the form, in the lap of heaven, of himself. In this manifestation in the lower hemisphere, he made a reflection of himself, his own form, a representative of himself. That's what we see, the disk of the sun, Sri Aurobindo says. Behind that disk, there is another disk. There are several disks of the sun. And one of those disks is supramental sun, which we don't see with our eye. We see the physical representative in the lap of heaven. We see the vital representative in the lap of vital heaven. And mental representative in the mental heaven. But we don't see the supramental behind it. There is another disk of the sun. One is that luminous power shining, flaming out, and other is these forces which carry the dark one, the Krishna Anyat, Haritah Sambharanti, his swiftnesses carry fully. Again, the word Sambharanti is used, bearing absolutely, but now it is his horses, powers, that bear fully his infinite force, Anantamasya Pajah, which is shining and dark, Anyat Rushat Krishna Manyat. Adya Deva Udita Suryasya Niramhasah Vipritani Ravadyat Tanno Mitro Varunamamahantam Aditik Sindhuv Prithivi Utadyav. Today, O gods, in the time of rising of the sun, save us from narrowness of the dark abyss, from that which should not be spoken, expressed in us. May Mitra Varuna, Aditi, ocean, earth and heaven grant us that. It is interesting that all the gods should protect and grant us that in the time of the rising of the sun. But not the sun itself should grant or protect us. All his projections, forces, gods, which are coming out of him, should give us that when he is rising. It seems not to have so much function, Surya itself. So this is about the sun. Now there is something which should not be expressed, spoken. It's also a very interesting thing. In the consciousness, something should not be brought into from that abyss of infinite darkness, yes? In the moment of this manifestation, because it might become a problem. I'm just leaving you with this thought. I can't tell you what it is, but I feel it makes sense to me. Yeah? To express it in consciousness would mean something which might obstruct that or might create a turmoil of some kind. So this is the aim. Yes, I'm sorry for this.
That is not your mistake.
I mean,
what?
So we will end with a minute of silence. There is a very interesting perception which is happening in the mind when the word brings these images into movement. We feel the swiftnesses of the sun. When we even speak about them, think about them, they are becoming actualized powers of consciousness. You could feel their presence. It's not just empty image. Yeah? Our consciousness is able to do miraculous things. And with the help of the word, of right knowledge, it can settle something in consciousness, some other perceptions which were not possible otherwise.